Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
It's We'll See About That with World Series MVP Ron Say.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to We'll See About That. Ron Say here with Mike Gary. And, Mike, we have a cold and damp Southern California here this week. It looks like we're going to get much more of the same, but I can tell you that I just got back from the spring training site of the Dodgers and at Camelback Ranch in Glendale, Arizona, and I had a two-day book signing over there, and I got to see a lot of some old friends and had a real nice time with all the people who were supportive of me being over there and picking up a copy of Penguin Power.
And that book, Penguin Power, available wherever fine books are sold and also on theronsayshow.com.
That's correct. And so it was a fun trip and drove over and drove back. And in between time, it seems as if the Lakers, after the Luka trade, have done very well. 10-2 start. Your comments?
It's very exciting.
Yeah.
I haven't felt this way about a Laker team in quite some time. Of course, you know, they won the title in the 2020 bubble season, which was, you know, very disjointed and weird. But the most amazing thing to me over the past 22 games, they're second in the league in defense. And, you know, adding Luka Doncic, of course, you know, who's not known as a tremendous defender. I mean, their offense looks very crisp, very clean. But I think that the level of defense being played, especially after Anthony Davis left the team, is a testament to how close they are. And also, I think J.J. Redick deserves a lot of credit. And I'm saying right now that maybe J.J. Redick might be coach of the year. And also, I'm saying right now, if LeBron keeps playing the way he's playing, it's MVP time for him.
Yeah, well, you know, last week we had Mike Bresnahan, you know, who gave us his critique of the club. And defense was one of those things that he stated could be a problem once you get into postseason play, but it looks like they are doing a pretty good job with that. And also, you know, we had a little bit of criticism for the Lakers in the beginning, you know, with, you know, the are they really going to try? Are we really going to do this? You know, bringing in Redick and having LeBron, you know, have his way with it. But LeBron passed another milestone, 50,000 points in all games, meaning regular season and postseason. So congratulations to LeBron. We have my 49ers decided to part ways with Deebo Samuel, and he's going to be going to the Commanders, and that might be a pretty good place for him. I think he's versatile enough to fit in there, and with their young, talented quarterback, I'm kind of excited for Deebo. I think it might be a new breath of fresh air.
And the Niners only got a fifth-round pick in exchange. Do you think this is a rebuilding season coming up for the 49ers?
I certainly hope not. You know, after last year, that was bad enough to suffer through. Mavericks took another dive, didn't they, with Kyrie Irving going down with a torn ACL.
And raising their ticket prices,
yeah,
too.
And the Eagles decided to make Saquon Barkley the highest paid running back in the NFL. So we're going to be right back. We'll see about that right after this message. Stay tuned. We are moving over to Financial Coach's Corner with Brad Kreger. Brad, what is the news today?
Well, I figured we'd I'd start this off by asking you, Ron, have you ever been traded?
Yeah, I did get traded. I got traded twice. I wouldn't happy about it either time.
No. I think it was, the Cubs and the A's?
That's correct. Yeah. I wanted to be a lifelong Dodger.
All right. Well, which one was worse? Which trade hurt the most?
Oh, I think the first one did. Yeah, no question about it. Yeah, but I went the best place possible, which was Chicago, which is where my wife was raised and born, and so it turned out to be a good thing. A lot of relatives and friends.
Well, and the Cubs fans were pretty appreciative of you too, if I remember right.
Well, not in the first 2 months that I started playing there. I think I pretty much was in the tank for a couple of months, but after that, the numbers turned around and were pretty much my career averages.
So they didn't care as long as the numbers worked out.
Well, that's true. And, you know, we also were now bringing in a new tradition, and we gave the Cub fans another reason to come to the ballpark other than just going to the bleachers and drinking beer. We were going to win.
All right. Well, hey, the reason why I ask is we've kind of kicked off a trade war this week. Trump announced a bunch of tariffs, both on China, Canada, Mexico, and there's a lot of other things going on. And we've seen the markets drop quite a bit there. We've seen some volatility that we were expecting. Markets are high already, but that quote unquote trade war that was kind of kicked off, it kind of shook things up earlier this week, and it's still kind of affecting our markets. And I kind of look at this a little differently in the sense that I know that our president is, didn't he write that book, The Art of the Deal, where, you know, he valued or, you know, can, you know, likes himself to think of himself as this great deal maker.
I believe so.
I think that's what this is. I think that this is really more about negotiation tactics and positioning the United States to get a better deal. Trump tries to run the country like a business, for better or for worse. But at the end of the day, I think we need to step back and let it take some time, not panic, and let the numbers work out. Just kind of like how you kind of went to Chicago and may not have, got traction right away. Maybe you were, you know, a little bit angry at the trade, but you settled in and it got back to normal and things worked out. I think that's what we need to think about or kind of take this trade war in that same light.
I hope you're right.
Me too.
All right, there you have it. Brad, thank you for your comments, and I do hope you're right.
They still call me the Penguin.
Okay, we have returned after the break to We'll See About That, and our special guest, Justin Dado, will receive a beautiful fruit gift basket courtesy of our friends at Melissa's Produce. Melissa's is a proud sponsor of We'll See About That. Be sure to use my VIP code RONSAY when checking out at melissas.com. Our guest today, Justin Dado, has a legacy, the family legacy, the Dado family legacy at USC. And we go back, well, I would say probably close to 50 years or more. And it's a great pleasure for me to have on the son of Rod Dado, Justin Dado. Justin, welcome to the show. How are things with you today?
Well, pretty good, Rion. You're right. It's over 50 years because I first saw you play in 1968 at UCLA when you were I came to scout you when you were playing against the Bruins, and you were playing the Trojans the next day. So at least I saw you in 1968, and that's over 50 years ago.
It sure is, and I have fond memories of our relationship over the years because you guys were also strongly tied to the Dodger organization. And we have crossed paths many times, and fond memories of going to all the Rose Bowl games down at your Shangri-La in Pasadena. That was a great time, man. I want to thank you so much for those experiences. That was quite a time.
Those were fun days, and we had Lasorda drive us, remember?
That was a mistake.
That was a big mistake.
Yeah, he could barely see over the steering wheel as it was. You
did
know?
He ask so, for gas money, too, afterwards?
No, yeah. he got his free gas money. You know, those were the times because I remember New Year's Day, there was only like four major bowl games, right? That was back in the real heyday. And we used to get over to your house about 9 a.m., and watch that first game, and then we walk down to the Rose Bowl and watch the Trojans beat somebody, probably Ohio State. And then we go back and to get rid of the traffic, watch that nightcap, which is probably, what, the Sugar Bowl?
Probably the Orange Bowl.
Well, the Orange Bowl, that was it, yeah. Yeah, quite a time, quite a deal. Such a great great experience. You know, you and Rod were so great to the family. Fran does say hello to you. I hope you're doing well, but you.
One funny story about those that Rose Bowl going to those games. I remember Dad wanted me to. He had Casey Stengel with him, and he had Lasorda, and he wanted me to drive him down to the Rose Bowl from our house. He didn't want Casey to have to make the walk.
Right.
So I'm going down the hill to try to get him close to the stadium, and this policeman stops me, and I'm trying to get past him, and he's giving me a hard time, and he's gonna hey, pull over, kid. And all of a sudden, my dad gets out of the car, and he looks at him, and he goes, Jesus. And then Lasorda gets out. He looks at Lasorda. Goes, what? Who is? What? And then out walks Casey Stengel. And the guy just went, oh, my God. Go ahead.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, I remember.
Over that cop is, he'll never forget that day.
Yeah, I remember a meeting, actually, Casey. I think it was probably the same group of usual suspects, Lasorda and you and whatever. I remember going over to Casey's house and taking a look at all the stuff and sitting down talking baseball with him. That was a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
He was really, you know, he, I don't know if you know this, but he's, you know, Casey signed my dad to his Brooklyn Dodger contract in 1935.
I did not know that.
Casey was managing the Dodgers, and he had seen Dad play in high school, and of course Casey lived in Glendale.
Uh-huh.
And had seen my dad play and really liked him as a player. And so the Dodgers, when he graduated in 1935 from SC, the Dodgers, actually Casey was the guy that actually signed him, even though he was managing the Dodgers at the time. Dad went back to Brooklyn and Casey signed him back there.
That's quite a story. And you also were a Dodger farmhand as well. Tell us a little bit about Ogden, Utah back in those days.
Oh, my God. Well, I'll tell you, I was we had played in the College World Series, and we had we were playing. We had won the national championship in 1963. We had a good team in 64. And we had a really good team in 66, and we got beat by Ohio State 1-0 in a rainstorm in Omaha, and I was just really down, and I said, "Gee, I've got to." And Dad said, "Well, you got to start working." He says, I graduated. I hadn't been drafted, and I thought, oh, my God. So it was a Monday morning, and there was we were in the trucking business, and we also had some warehouses, and there was a boxcar that had shown up, and it had been sitting there all weekend. It was about 150 degrees inside the boxcar. They say, Justin, you got to unload this boxcar. And so I'm out there, and I'm sweating like crazy. And some guy comes walking along the dock, running along the dock. He said, Justin, there's a call for you. It's Buzzy Bavese.
Whoa.
And I said, what? I said, oh, you're kidding. He said, no. He says, Buzzy, it's Buzzy Bavese. You better take this call. So I'm all sweaty. I run back into the dispatch office. And sure enough, it's Buzzy Bavese. And he says, listen, he says, we want you to go to Ogden, Utah and play for Tommy Lasorda. I said, oh. Great. I said, but he says, we can't pay anybody.
Oh, that's great. Said,
Buzzy, I said, I'm sitting in, I'll take anything to get out of LA. Just send me a plane ticket. I don't want to go back into that boxcar. So I said, send me the plane ticket. I'll be there tomorrow. Tommy was already there because the season had started, and we were in last place. And I show up, Mr. Joe College, and just fresh off the college, you know, being in the College World Series, Tommy put me in the lineup, and we started winning, so we had it was quite an experience. I'm one of the few people in history that can say he played for Rod Dedeaux and Tommy Lasorda in the same season. And live to tell about it.
Yeah. So who were some of your teammates up in Ogden?
Well, we had some, outfielder pitcher who couldn't get anybody out. He'd throw and everything. They just light him up. His name was Charlie Huff. Anyway, so I mean, this guy.
Yeah.
And Tommy, since I was a little older, Tommy said, geez, we got to get rid of this guy. We'd go out in the outfield. You know, hey, you throw in the outfield. And he'd start throwing these knuckleballs in the outfield. And Tommy saw that. And he didn't pitch him, though, but he didn't release him either because I think, as the story goes, he got Charter to start throwing the knuckleball. He just had a natural knuckleball. And Charlie, so he survived that. The other guy, though, was interesting, was Billy Russell, was on that team. And they, and I remember they were going to, but Tommy called me into his, we stayed at the Ben Lomond Hotel. Did you ever stay there in Ogden?
No, I didn't play in Ogden.
Anyway, so Tommy said, you know, Tommy didn't have a, I was kind of like an assistant coach, actually. And Tommy said, hey, Fresco Thompson has got this list, and we've got to get rid of about 12 guys out of this clubhouse. Because they had a small clubhouse in Ogden, and we had about 30-some players. And you couldn't get them all in even to dress. So he said, we've got to get rid of about 10 players. So he showed me the list, and he said, and at the bottom of the list was a guy named Bill Russell. And I said, gee. I said, Russell, he looks, you know, he's a pretty good athlete, Tommy. He said, yeah, but, yeah, you know, I know what to do with him and everything. So, but he said, we said, yeah. I said, well, he can run. And Tommy said, yeah, he's got a pretty good arm too, doesn't he? I said, yeah, we started talking about him. So the next day we worked him out. I mean, it was just hard. You know, Tommy's by himself with all these ball players. I mean, God, I don't know how he did it. And we saw enough of Billy. Tommy saw enough of him to keep him. And they were going to release him. I mean, that was they didn't have any money invested in him. And they were going to release him, and then, of course, the rest is history. But Bobby Stinson was on that team. A guy named John Gable, I think, played a lot with Detroit. Those were kind of the big name guys.
Yeah. All right, we're going to hold you right there, Justin. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. We'll see about that with Justin Dado right after this message.
Do you want to add a boost to your sex life this weekend? Do you want to make your partner and yourself happy? Then call our special hotline now. We'll sell you those little pills that work below the belt for less than $1 a pill and deliver your package in a few days, just in time for the weekend. Our pill delivers almost the same results as expensive pills for less than a dollar a piece, and you don't need a prescription. And ask about their buy three, get three free offer. What are you waiting for? Boost your sex life and have a great time now. Less than a dollar a pill, discreet delivery in a few days, and a buy three, get three free offer? Dial this number and save it now.
800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. That's 800-229-8627. Paid for by the pharmacy shop.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way, way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738.
That's 800-278-1738.
Hello, Ron Save. Okay, we're back with our special guest, Justin Dado. And Justin, continuing that conversation about the players on the Ogden team. You know, Charlie Huff, was close to Tommy, and so was Billy. And Billy was probably a 17-year-old kid there. And I remember him and Bobby Valentine probably being the two fastest kids in our camp when they came to spring training. And Charlie Huff would have a career that would win him 216 games and pitch like 25 years in the big leagues. So he found the knuckleball. And, Bob Stinson was a catcher with major league experience. So you had the makings of, pretty good club, I would imagine. But I want to get back to before you signed and went to Ogden. You have a history of being a roommate with one of the all-time greatest pitchers in Major League Baseball, Tom Seaver. Tell us a little bit about Tom.
Well, Tom had come to us from we met him. He was playing up in Alaska in the Gold Panners up
That's
there.
Correct.
Marcel Latchman was coaching up there. Saw him pitch. Everybody said, "Hey, we've got to get this guy to come down to SC." So sure enough, he comes down to SC, and our big ace of the staff was a guy named John Herbst, who had been a draft in those days. He probably would have been the first player drafted in the country. He had that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so Tom came in but he came in from Fresno Junior College, where he'd been, and he'd been in the Marines actually after he graduated from high school. He joined the Marines, put on some weight, built himself up physically, and then went to Fresno City College, and then went up to Alaska, and then his performance up there merited him a Rod Dado scholarship.
Yeah.
What kind of scholarship that was. But those were always kind of halves and quarters and things along that line. But Dad had a friend who knew Charlie Seaver, who was a great golfer. Tom's father was a Walker Cup golfer. And long story short, he came into SC, and then we became roommates, and we had a lot of fun, and the story he pitched for us in 1965, and then as you recall, in the summer of 65 was the first draft, where Rick Mundy was the first player taken in that draft in 1965. Well, then they had a winter draft, and nobody really knew what the rules were. It was very complicated. And we had started our 1966 season, and we were already playing. We were playing the pro teams. There weren't Cal State Fullertons and Cal State Long Beach in those days. So
yeah.
We would play the major league ball players that were getting ready to go to spring training and so forth. And Seaver was just blowing everybody down. I mean, man, he had his fastball gained a foot. We're going, oh man, what a team we're going to have with him throwing. We had John Herbst. We had a kid named John Stewart. We ended up All American. Ray Lamb was on the team. Bill Lee was on that team. We had some great pitching. And so the Atlanta Braves draft Seaver. And there was a question whether he was eligible to sign or not. And so my dad told me, my dad was in the coach's office, and he says, go to, I was rooming with Tom again. We had an apartment. And he said, go tell Tom, I just talked to William Eckert, and since our season's already started and we're underway, he can't sign. So go tell him that. Well, I knew that, Nancy Seaver was coming down to visit with him, and I figured they kind of wanted to be alone together, and get to know each other a little bit. And so I said, I went home to my mom was making chicken fricassee, which I really liked. I called Tom, and the phone was off the hook. And I called about 10 times. My dad came home, and I said, "Have you talked to Seaver?" I said, "Well, no." I said, "I didn't want to go by and interrupt you. Nancy's in town." I've been calling him for the last every half hour. Sounds like the phone's off the hook. So he said, "Well, talk to him in the morning." And I said, "Fine." So first thing in the morning, I had a morning class. I go over to the apartment, and I see Tom and Nancy, and I And I go, hey, Jay, I tried to reach you last night. Phone was off the hook. And I said, by the way, I was going to tell you, you can't sign with the Atlanta Braves. He said, well, I did last night. I signed with them last night. And I said, well, let's get that contract. So Johnny Moore was a scout. We went to get, called Johnny Moore and said, Johnny, you got to rip up that contract. He said, he can't sign. And Moore said, I just mailed it to New York. There was a whole chain of circumstances happened, and the NC2A got involved with this whole thing. Dad had to report the deal and all everything else. NC2A rules him ineligible on the basis, which is crazy, that he is a professional because he intended to be a professional. Well, hell, everybody in college intend to be a professional. But anyway, he didn't sign. And, of course, then they took all the teams except Atlanta. All teams could match Atlanta's offer, including the Dodgers. And Lasorda had drafted Tom that summer. The summer of 65, he'd been drafted by the Dodgers and didn't sign. And so only three teams matched Atlanta's offer, not the Dodgers. And I'll tell you, every time Seaver saw Lasorda, he'd remind him.
Yeah, no doubt.
Tommy, you didn't draft me. You didn't draft me. 300 wins, Tommy. Oh, God, poor Tommy.
Yeah.
And Tommy really, and to Tommy's credit, he had begged Campanis to get the money for him.
Yeah.
He really had. And yeah. But Seaver would not let up on him.
Yeah. So, well, I have no doubts that that was true, and probably rightfully so. You know, I played up in Alaska. We played the Gold Panthers. We had a team that went up there and played them for a week. And on that club there, they had Bill Lee and Mike Adamson and Bob Boone and a bunch of other guys that Pat Harrison was playing. Yeah. Bill Seinsoth, you know all those guys. A lot of them are SC guys, Stanford guys, UCLA guys. But that was quite an experience, and I remember. The first game that we played up there, I hit a home run off Bill Lee. And he says, where are you going to school? And he says, have you got a scholarship? Are you already set? I said, yeah, I am set. And he says, if you weren't, I think I could possibly try to get you in USC. And he says, there might be something available for you. And I said, well, I've already signed, but thanks for thinking of me. And he says, where are you going to school? And I said, Washington State. And he said, oh, no, we got to play you guys at Washington State? But that club, it was called the Cheney Studs. We had seven guys off that club and off of Washington State's club that played professionally. And two of them made it to the major leagues. But actually, no, that's not true. There was probably three. But, yes, we had a really good club. And I know that was a great place for guys to go play in the summertime, to play every single day, play the midnight sun game. It was a lot of fun. I want to go back to the legacy at USC. You know, the Trojans are the number one ranked team for all-time wins at the College World Series. They have won more national championships, and your dad won 11 of them, and I think USC has won 12. Right. And your program has turned out more than 100 major league players, and I think the last number that I saw, 52 first-team All-Americans. And I have a huge list here, but what an incredible – you won five in a row too, by the way. Yeah, and you were an assistant coach with that stuff. I mean, those are numbers that are just incredible. Rod must have been incredibly proud of that. I was proud of it. I was proud to be associated with both of you guys at different times. But what an incredible career and what an experience that must have been for you.
It was unbelievable. It was kind of I see Mike Garrett occasionally. He was I played with Mike in our 1965 team, and Mike was, of course, all pro running back. And he said that was like Camelot SC during that period of time. You know, he had John McKay coaching football, Bob Boyd coaching basketball, Vernon Wolfe track and field, and my dad in baseball. And all the sports fed off each other. They're just an amazing camaraderie among the coaches and the players, and everybody pulled for one another. But it was, if you look at like this last month or so, we were looking at the Kansas City Chiefs trying to do a three-peat.
Right.
And you think, and how rare that is in sports. I mean, to win three in a row, and to think that the USC baseball team did it three times, you know, winning five in a row, you would have to, you three-peated three times to win five in a row.
Yes.
It's just, I pinch myself. As a matter of fact, I've written a book about it, soon to be published. Larry Stewart's helping me with it, and kind of reliving those years and all the incredible games and so forth. But it was kind of like, it was just a period at SC, both in, particularly with football and baseball. It was just a state of mind that you just went out there with the idea that you just couldn't be beaten. You know, it's just, there was just that energy that permeated the whole campus. Yeah, but Dad was a genius as a coach. I mean, he knew baseball inside out. He could teach it. And he taught all the little things, all the fundamental parts of the game, you know, just making sure players could throw accurately. But he taught the art of base running. He taught all the little things, the infield defense, outfield defense. He taught all those little things in baseball. They're so important when you get into the big games in a long season. It's those little things that add up that win championship teams.
I'm going to hold you right there, Justin. We got to take a quick break. We're back with Justin Dado right after this message.
Right now, Kohl's is giving away millions in instant Kohl's Cash in stores for free. Yep, that's right, because the Kohl's Cash Ultimate Giveaway is back. Hurry in to claim yours while supplies last. Plus, you can score 3 days of deals in-store and online this weekend. So don't miss out. Head to your nearest Kohl's this Friday through Sunday before it's too late. Kohl's Cash Giveaway valid in-store only. Redeemable only that day. Some exclusions apply. Not valid on Sephora at Kohl's while supplies last. Ends March 9th. See store at Kohl's.com for details.
Are you a fan of paranormal radio? Bigfoot, UFOs, ghosts, hauntings, cryptids, true crime? After Dark Radio with Brian Alvarez airs live on Sports Byline every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, talking all manner of the strange and unusual. From the latest news of the weird to interviews with the top names in the field, After Dark is your source for paranormal radio. Check it out, 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern, every Wednesday, live on Sports Byline USA.
Hi, welcome to Staples.
Hi, I hear Staples can print it all for my business.
Oh, if you can think it, Staples can print it, and we'll beat any print quote.
Oh, great. I'm thinking new brochures and yard signs?
No problem.
I'm thinking calendars, t-shirts, and pens.
Totally.
I'm thinking Staples is the place for printing.
I thought you might think that.
Right now at Staples, get up to $250 off your print purchase. Ends 4/5, exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for offer details. Price match guarantee valid in-store and staples.com/print. Visit staples.com/pricematch for details.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. Founder Mark Gus Scott chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo, GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores. American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
fans are rooting for the Dodgers.
And we are back. We'll see about that with the legend and champion, Ron Say. I am Mike Gary. This week in Dodger history, presented by BFF Financial 2001, the dedication of two sculptures located 60 feet, 6 inches apart, depicting a Johnny Podras pitching to Roy Campanella during the seventh game of the 1955 World Series. Takes place on the south lawn of the National Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York. The life-size bronze statues designed by figurative sculptor Stanley Bleifeld were donated by ardent Dodger fan Sheldon Fireman.
Well, that's a perfect place for Dodger history to reside, in the grounds of Cooperstown. Very proud of both those guys and knew them well. Justin, I wanted to get back to what you were talking about. You know, you're talking about the fundamentals of baseball, which are becoming a little bit more obsolete in today's game, isn't it? I mean, you look at small ball and all the technical things that you go about playing a game, and now we are in a, at least as far as the major leagues is concerned, you know, a strikeout home run kind of game. And there's not a whole lot of strategy that has to take place during that game.
Boy, I totally agree. I just think they're missing so much of the game. The game's strictly become a power game and a power pitching game. And all the little things you don't see. You don't see the hit and run. You don't see pitch outs. You don't see you see players out of position to make the double play. Of course, that's the shift has helped. Making the shift illegal has helped a little bit in that regard. But you don't see guys, if the guys do bunt, the defenses aren't set to have, you know, you would always have bunt plays to throw out the advancing runners. There's no, that doesn't exist anymore.
It doesn't. And it's kind of a shame because, you know, you see in the postseason where there's now a reminder that small ball does exist a little bit. And at the most important time of the year when you're trying to win a championship, and it seems to me that, you know, it'd be nice to play a little bit of that during the course of a 162-game schedule, because, you know, if you don't practice it all year long, it's going to be pretty difficult to execute that when it comes down to the nuts and bolts of it all.
Yeah, I thought the Dodgers did a good – last year, they began – you know, they have a very highly intelligent group there, and they did play some small ball, I thought, that, whereas the Yankees didn't at all. And the Dodgers, I thought, really outplayed them and defensively and moving runners along and doing a lot of the fundamental things. I saw a lot of that with the Dodger team, and they won the World Championship.
Yeah, yeah, no question about it. The Yankees imploded in that one game when they were just on the verge of possibly coming back, and it all just blew up in front of their fans. And, you know, kind of appropriate, I guess, if you're a Dodger fan, to have it all come down at Yankee Stadium. Probably the only thing that would have been a little different to win it all at Dodger Stadium. But the result is the same. And what is your take on the club this year? You know, they have basically, they have an incredible payroll. 2 years ago, they spent $1.4 billion, more than every other team in baseball spent through the entire offseason. They are again loaded this year. They have to get to the World Series. They kind of have to win. Is that the way you see it?
Well, I think they've got as great a group of talent that I've seen in the last 20 years in Major League Baseball. If these guys are as good as advertised, I don't know about the young Japanese pitcher. I haven't seen him. But I do know one thing, that winning baseball is very important. When the Dodgers took off last year, was about the time that they moved Mookie Betts back to right field, where he belongs.
Exactly.
And and you're an infielder, and you know the instincts of infielders takes years to develop. It's just something that it's going to take. And if any guy that's ever played baseball could make the switch, it could be Mookie Betts, because he's that incredible an athlete. But the instincts are something that takes years to develop. And I can tell you that I worry about the one thing about the Dodgers is I'd love to see Mookie Betts back in right field and have a great defensive guy like Rojas playing shortstop. I know he's older, but he can't go every day. But that's the one thing that bothers me about this team. But other than that, it is, wow, you know. But, yeah, as you know, in baseball, you're as good as your last at bat. And, you know, you got to go out in the field. You got to execute. You got to do all the little things. And if they can continue to do that, they could have a great season.
Yeah, I think it's pretty much anticipated that if they don't get to the World Series, it's going to be a disappointing season. And you're right. With all the talent, all the money that they have spent on these guys, and I do agree with you on Mookie Betts. You know, I think it was 2 years or more ago that they decided he might be playing second base. And then there was something that came out saying Mookie Betts is the best second baseman in baseball. And I had a hard time with that. And then they moved him over to shortstop. And they said, well, I said, so is Mookie Betts going to be the best shortstop in baseball now too? And we know he's a gifted athlete. But I think you're right. I think his best position is in the outfield. I think that it does take time to coordinate that cohesiveness in the infield. And, yes, it is a different game today. But it's still about execution. And, you know, the lineup today, you know, the old standard lineups that we used to have, the prerequisites for each position in the lineup certainly has changed, hasn't it? Because you got guys that are your best hitters hitting the top of the lineup regardless of what they do.
Yeah, you can see Kyle Schwarber hitting leadoff for the Phillies. It's
kind of,
the guy has 40 home runs and he's hitting leadoff. I just don't understand it. And
he strikes out 200 times a year, too.
Yeah. I tell you. But it's a different game. And it's still a great game, though. It's still few of the changes that I question a little bit. I'm really questioning the pitch clock and how that's related to all these arm injuries that have happened. I mean, I've never seen anything like this in the last. I mean, I don't know if you have either, but how many pitchers were injured? And I'm wondering if it isn't because of the pitch clock, where the pitcher doesn't give his arm a chance to, it takes a lot of strain when you're out there throwing a 95 mile an hour fastball, and you need time for that arm to kind of let the blood circulate again and everything else. But these kids are back up on the mound throwing again.
Yeah.
And there's got to be a relationship between the pitch clock and all these injuries that have happened. I'm convinced that there's something there that they got to take a look at.
Well, I do like the clock from the standpoint of keeping the game moving. You always want to have your infielders on their toes so they don't have a chance to wander much. I do take into consideration that. We had a guy named Jim Kernel, who was a former professional player, on here last year. And he seems to think that through his studies, of which he's done years of studying, that mechanics is at the top of the list. And the torque that you have when you're throwing close to – it's all about let's see how hard you can throw. But you better do it from a mechanical point where you're not, you know, going to throw your arm out. And, you know, the pitch count, the limited innings, you know, they're doing theirs as well as they can to protect these guys, and yet they still get hurt.
Amazing, yeah. So there has to be something that's going on there but you're right. They're throwing as hard as they can every pitch. No, you can't do that.
No, you sure can't. And not if you're going to, you know, sustain, you know, a pitching effort. It's like when you bring a guy out for an inning, I can understand him going, you know, basically all out, you know, 15 pitches. But when you try to ask a starting pitcher to go five innings and do that, you're asking for a lot of trouble.
It's also endemic with, you know, Little League and high school, because, you know, you're seeing radar guns now come out at high school games. And so it's more about your velocity than actually getting guys out.
That's, you know, that's what, you know, that's kind of what it's all about. You know, I mean, it's how hard can you throw? And you know, I think it's the wrong message to be sent, because I don't think you learn how to pitch when you just say, let's just go air it out.
Greg Maddux probably wouldn't even get drafted today.
What about Randy Jones?
Randy Jones.
And
yeah.
Jim Cott and, you know, others that, you know, not to say that Jim Cott didn't throw harder than Randy Jones, but those guys weren't keying it up at 95 miles an hour plus. They were
pitching.
Exactly.
Pitching, changing speeds.
Yeah.
Command and so forth. So you they're not teaching them.
No, you're right. It's a completely different game. And at some point in time, I think that some of these people are probably going to have to go out of their realm, their comfort zone of having we're going to do it ourselves. You're going to start have to asking questions, because I think it's going to be an epidemic here before too long if it doesn't they don't come up with some kind of an answer. But you know, I was thinking, you know, when you guys you said you played against a lot of professionals, you know, you must have had a heck of a alumni varsity game if all these guys are coming down to work at SC like we used to do. I mean, who's going to play in this lineup? Seaver, you got Randy Johnson, you got McGuire, Lynn, House, Barr, Lee, Pryor, Zito, the Boone brothers, Roy Smalley, Jenkins, Jones, Strom, Kingman. Who's gonna play? Mike Adamson.
Yeah, when I was coaching, our alumni game would sell out.
Yeah.
Everybody wanted to pitch. You know, of course, that was before Randy and Mark came along, but. You know, you had Donnie Buford, you had Devon Fairley out there, you had Steve Kemp out there, you had you had Tommy House, and of course Seaver would come down and pitch, and I mean we had Adamson and all those guys, my God, Jim Barr, Brent Strom, Steve Busby, pretty good group.
Oh, you had an incredible alumni. You could have three first teams out of all those guys, the way that they played for you. Amazing. Justin, we're winding down now. We're in our last minute before we have to close it off, and I just want to say thank you so much for joining us on the show today. It must have been an incredible experience for you. I'm sure it was. Your father was always very dear to me, and as are you, and our relationship over the years, and I hope we continue to be able to do that.
Well, Penguin, you're my all-time favorite Dodger, so don't tell that to Russell, though.
I'll keep it between us.
Okay. All right.
When can we expect the book, Justin?
Well, probably by the end of the year. It's already written. We're just doing the editing on it right now, and it's going to be about the five consecutive national championship teams, but sprinkled in there is all the people that are involved to make that happen. And it's called The Miracle of the Jefferson Street Miracle, which truly, if you look in the annals of sports, to win five consecutive championships in anything is beyond belief.
Yes, sir. That's kudos. Kudos to the Dado family and USC. Justin, thanks so much for joining us. Great luck with the book. All right, there you have it. Justin Dado, we'll be right back. We'll see about that right after this. This is baseball's Ron Say. Nowadays, it seems like nothing is built to last. Phones, appliances, cars, computers, but the new Michelin Defender 2 tire is designed to outlast. With a quiet and comfortable ride, you will have the confidence you need on the roads, whether they're wet or dry. So goodbye to the short-lived and hello to something that lasts. Get your set of Michelin Defender 2 tires at Hank's Tires, 19951 Ventura Boulevard in Woodland Hills. Call my buddy Steve Goldberg at 818-340-4200. That's 818-340-4200. Hank's Tires is also built to last. Hank opened Hank's Tires in 1953, and we are the oldest tire and auto repair shop in the San Fernando Valley with 100% customer satisfaction. Hank's is AAA approved for all of your auto repair needs. Call Hank's Tires at 818-340-4200 and tell them Ron Say sent you.
Looking for a cruise vacation? Cruise.com is offering its exclusive sale of the year to all listeners to this station. Every major cruise line, including Royal Caribbean, Carnival, Princess, MSC, and more, are on sale now. Call 1-800-430-7924 and book one of these deals while supplies last. Cruises start from as low as $39 per person per day. There isn't a better vacation value to places like Alaska, Europe, the Caribbean, South America, and more. Call one of the largest cruise specialists in the world at 1-800-430-7924. We'll find you a vacation that includes drinks, Wi-Fi, excursions, and more. Call 1-800-430-7924 Again, that's 1-800-430-7924. Space is limited. Don't miss your opportunity to book the best deal of the year. That's 1-800-430-7924. Sponsored by Cruise.com.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property, and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now, before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Hey, Ron, how you doing?
Okay, we're wrapping things up here, and I want to thank Justin Dado once again for joining us and giving his experience of what it was like to be one of those USC Trojans playing baseball back in the 70s and all the success they had and his father and growing up in that atmosphere. What a great experience it was for him.
What a time in LA too, where you have, you know, the USC dominant in both football and in baseball, and then on, right across town you have UCLA with John Wooden winning national championship after national championship.
That's right. Yeah, that was a very, very dominant period with Dado and Wooden.
City of Champions,
and then
baby.
Right on top of the hill across from everybody's Dodger Stadium. So, yeah.
And then just a couple of years later, you got the Dodgers winning World Series rings. You got the Lakers winning five titles in the 80s.
Yeah. Well, that's why it's a city of champions. Yeah, very much. And don't forget the hockey teams, too. All right. When you have a moment, please visit my website, theronsayshow.com. You can find a copy of my Penguin Power book over there with multiple signing options and also a guest list of our and menu of our podcast shows that's accessible at the site. And you know how to reach me on Instagram. And for special requests, I'm also available on Cameo.
Okay, Ron. So you were at spring training. We saw that Roki Sasaka looked really good in his outing. We got about a minute before we wrap things up here. So is the over-under on Dodger wins next season 145?
Probably a bit under, you know. If the White Sox can lose, what, 122 games?
Gosh. Anything is possible.
I guess so. But you know what? We share that spring training site with the White Sox. So you got the world champions on one side, and you got the team with the worst record in baseball on the other.
Ugh.
Which game are you going to go
see? Makes them for awkward dining hall meals.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, we're going to wrap things up. I want to thank you so much for joining us. Please be with us next week. We'll see about that.